number 9. Number 9, and let's stand together as we sing, "O Worship the King, All Glorious Above." Number 9. Man, we're glad you're here tonight. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask His blessing. We'll have Pastor McDonald open our service tonight.
Man, good to see you all here tonight. Before we take the announcement, I just want to make an announcement. Before we take the offering, I want to make an announcement. And that is our missionary pledges that we had at the missions conference totaled $135,000 for this year. And that is up considerable from last year. So that is great. And I just encourage you now to continue to pray and to give to our missionaries. Last year, Americans, not the Canadians now, but Americans spent more money on their pets than ever. So it's encouraging that they're doing it. They're looking after their pets. We should be looking after souls. They forked out $55.7 billion, just the Americans, on their pets alone last year. And that's $10 billion more than Germany spends on their entire defense program. So, I have a dog, I have a cat. I have two cats. I had a fish that passed away this morning. I'm an animal lover, but I'm telling you something, folks, we should be loving souls and giving to missions more than we're giving to pets just the same. Amen. Brother Rob, if you'd pray for tonight's offering.
Lord, thank you for your many blessings to us, Lord. We pray over your word, Lord. Ask that you open our hearts to receive it. Pray you bless this offering that be used for those in your gospel.
Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give.
Please, 398. Let's stand as we sing, "Yesterday, Today, Forever, Jesus is the Same." 398. Let's all stand as we sing. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, number 419. 419. We're marching to Zion. Let's stand tonight as we sing, and the choir joins us in our places. 419. We're marching to Zion.
great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My life is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me.
That you're here tonight. How many of you are glad to see Rick and Bonnie? And we've been praying for Bonnie. I don't want to embarrass her, but I want you to see who you're praying for. Bonnie, would you stand tonight? Rick will stand with you to make you feel better. And I'm really not trying to embarrass you, but folks want to see who they're praying for. And we've been praying for Bonnie, and Rick wouldn't stand with you. Isn't that terrible? And Rick plays hockey with our guys, and Friday nights and sometimes and Sunday nights, but Bonnie is his wife, and she's been battling cancer. And boy, we get to hate that cancer, don't we? And we've been praying for Bonnie, but I was talking to her before the service. She says she hasn't been sick at all throughout the entire treatment. So praise the Lord for that. And three more treatments. So pray her through the end of that. And then when the tests come back negative, we can rejoice in the Lord. And so let's continue to pray for Bonnie. And I hope that's a help to her. And I know it's a help, but I hope it's a help and a blessing to her. The book of Jonah tonight. Turn to the book of Jonah. Book of Jonah. This is the message I had prepared for this morning. And I will admit that I have preached part of this message before, about 4 years ago on a Wednesday night. But the Lord had burned my heart to preach on prayer today. And if I didn't do it this morning, certainly tonight. And I really think that we are getting so busy that we're getting away from the proper prayer time that we need to have. And it's burning my heart, and we've been talking about it with a couple of my men, and we're praying about what to do. We think the prayer meeting is the most important meeting of the week. Absolutely. And let me encourage you, you need to be at prayer meeting. It is the time of strengthening. And I understand that when we get together on a Wednesday night, it's not always preaching. It's sometimes we're teaching through a book and things like that. And so it may not be as exciting. I understand that. But listen, that's the meat of the word. And we are not to just desire the milk, we're to desire the meat. And we're to get in. And I'm going to be honest with you, I would rather just get up and preach. Just preach something. But the Bible says we need to be apt to teach. And so we take the time and we go through books of the Bible. And you know, some it's interesting. Some people, I had a dear lady in Hamilton, and she says, you know, she says, I come for the teaching. She says, I like the preaching, but I really enjoy the teaching. She says, that's where I really get fed. And so, you know, I understand everybody's a little bit different, but let me encourage you, Wednesday nights is so important. And I know that we have a lot of workers out that our programs are coming to an end here in a couple months, and we want to rejuvenate the prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. We want to get back to doing what we ought to be doing and praying. And so we're looking at tinkering some things for the fall so that we'd have more participation in prayer. If we stop praying, we might as well close the church. There'd just be no power whatsoever. We need the Holy Spirit that comes through prayer. We need filling that comes through prayer. We need CC soul saved. People don't get saved if we're not a praying church. I'm reminded of a story. I read Charles Spurgeon's biography. And somebody visited the Metropolitan Tabernacle one day where the London Baptist Church was housed. And he said to them, would you like to see the furnace room? And they wanted to be polite, so they followed him to the furnace room. And he opened the door and 400 people were praying. He said, this is what keeps the church hot. This is what keeps us on fire. And we understand the power of prayer because, boy, we sure use it when we need it, don't we? We sure turn to prayer when we need it. You know what? Maybe you wouldn't need it as much if you did it more often. Maybe some of these needs wouldn't come into our lives if we were more faithful praying. God would be preemptive in our lives and take care of the needs. We always seem to pray backwards, don't we? You ever done that? You're praying for things that are already happening in your life? Why don't we pray ahead? Start praying for good health and things like that. You know, I think sometimes it works a lot of ways like that. When we go to God and make an investment, God blesses it. I remember one time I said to my wife, we need $500 for this bill. She says, well, let's pray about it. I said, let's not just pray about it. Let's go ahead and tithe on it right now. Let's go ahead and put the $50 tithe that God's going to give us the $500, put it in the offering plate now, and trust God for it. Why not be preemptive? Do you think God is not able? And so I really want to encourage you, let's get back to a prayer meeting, get back to a regular time of prayer, and it's important that we invest this in our lives. Let's look in the book of Jonah tonight, and I just want to give you some things about the life of Jonah that we see where he failed in his prayer life. And because he failed in his prayer life, we see some calamity that came into his life that really wasn't necessary. And so let's read together Jonah chapter 1. The Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the waves that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Let's pray together. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just help us tonight, Lord, to understand how important prayer is. And I know that these folks are aware of that, but Lord, I pray that you would just kind of rejuvenate us, fire us up once again, and Lord, help us, Lord, to have that attitude of prayer constantly and consistently in our lives. Father, I pray, Lord, that the first call we ever make is to the Lord Almighty. Father, I pray that you'd help us to turn to thee in this hour, and I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would strengthen us and help us and impress upon us how important it is and the failures that come upon our lives when we fail to pray. And so, Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me describe, firstly, the story or the condition we find Jonah in tonight. The Bible says that God called unto him to send him to Nineveh to cry against the sin of that city. And Nineveh was a great city, the Bible says, but it was a wicked city, and the wickedness had come up before the Lord. And so Nineveh, the prophet of God, and God, who is rich in his mercy and grace, was sending a prophet to the city of Nineveh to cry against it with the hopes that they would repent. Of course, God knows the beginning from the end, and he knows that what would happen if he would send a preacher. And so he sent this prophet, Jonah, but Jonah had other thoughts. I'm not sure why this would be a problem. I'm not sure why he didn't want to go to Nineveh, but perhaps the word had got to him how wicked the place had been. Perhaps God had already burned his heart and said, listen, this is a terrible assignment. This is something that nobody really wants to do, but I need you to go to Nineveh, and I need you to preach against it. As a matter of fact, he sent to him, arise, go to Nineveh, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up upon me. And so Jonah knew from the very call of the Lord that this was a wicked city. And so he flew from the presence of the Lord, and he got into a ship to go to a place called Tarshish. He left from the port of Joppa, and there he set sail, trying to escape the presence of the Lord. Well, it's interesting, as we look down in the scriptures, we find that if you'll examine those scriptures with me, not once did he talk to the Lord. I suppose there were some reasons why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. I could imagine that. And Paul, you know, if the Lord were to call you, there might be some places in the back of your mind that you say, you know, I'd be happy if the Lord calls me, but I don't want to go there. I don't know if you've ever said that to the Lord. I kind of dare you to do it, because that's probably where you'll end up, amen? The Lord's got a great sense of humor. But we've got this idea, well, you know, I'd love to go to the mission field as long as it's Hawaii. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And so perhaps Jonah had some preconceived ideas, and maybe he thought, well, you know what? I'm just waiting for the Lord to call me to do something, but boy, I hope I don't have to go to Nineveh. Maybe he was afraid. I'm not sure. Maybe there was legends and things are going on of a murderous town. I really don't understand, but maybe he was afraid to go to Nineveh. I'm not sure. Maybe he just felt like he'd be in great danger, and he disagreed with the Lord. But I want you to notice in the entire passage, he never talked to the Lord about those fears. Not once did he say to the Lord, you know, Lord, I'm happy to go. I want to serve you. I want to preach the word of God, but is there somewhere else I could go? Is there a place that maybe isn't so wicked that is more deserving of your grace? By the way, nobody's deserving of grace. If we were deserving of it, it wouldn't be grace. It'd be something that we deserve. It'd be justice. But God has extended grace. But instead of talking to God, he decided to flee. As a matter of fact, we read on in verse 5, the Bible says, and the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, small g. Isn't it interesting, in verse 9, he says, he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. That's the word, when you see all capitals, remember I told you last week, that means Jehovah or Yahweh. He says, I believe in God. And yet the others prayed to their small g gods, who had done nothing for them, before Jonah was ever provoked to pray to his God, the one true God. Jonah was in a miserable condition. I want you to notice in verse 5 how comfortable he became in his sin. The Bible says, the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down in the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. See, Jonah had run so far from God, and I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually, that he no longer prayed, and he also felt very comfortable in his rebellion. Now, you need to understand tonight, young people, follow me here. Jonah was right where he was because of the choices he made. He chose no longer to be a man of prayer. I'm going to show you throughout the passage tonight, there were several opportunities for Jonah to cry out to God, but he refused each and every time. And it wasn't until God drove him to his knees that he finally cried out to the Lord. You know, we're such a stubborn people sometimes, aren't we? We pray when we absolutely have to. When we absolutely need to, when it's already maybe too late, we cried out to the Lord when the damage has already been done. And Jonah was in that same boat. His sin marked his rebellion. I wonder, was it willful rebellion not to pray, or was it because of his rebellion he refused to pray? Which was it? But either way, friends, if we are rebellious against God, the first thing that normally goes is our prayer life. I remember being in Bible college, and we had a dorm meeting twice a week on Monday nights and Thursday nights. We'd get together with all the guys on our floor, and we'd have prayer meetings. Just, you know, we'd all sit out in the hallway, just sit on the floor, and somebody come and bring a devotion. One night, one of the fellows came, and he said, Dave, our RA that year, Dave Cimenti, he says, he asked me to do a devotion tonight, and he says, I told him no. And he says, all the guys are taking a turn. He says, it's good training for you. It's good experience. You're going to be a preacher one day. And he says, I'd like you to take a turn. And he said, no. He says, ask me the next time around. And he says, a couple more months went by, and he says, he asked me again. And I said, no. And finally, the third time, I got under such conviction, and he says, I'll tell you why I haven't done devotions. He says, I haven't prayed in over 6 months. He says, I don't know what it is. He says, I made a choice a while ago, and he says, that choice was the wrong choice, and I got away from the Lord, and I was afraid to go back to the Lord with it. He says, but let me tell you this, and here was his devotion, and this was it. I mean, it was 30 seconds and over. He says, when you rebel against God, the first thing you'll do is quit praying. He says, be careful. He just read the verse, pray without ceasing. That's all he did. And he says, I'm staying here before you tonight. And he says, I'm just telling you, the first thing you'll do when you rebel against God is you'll quit praying. You know, prayer is our lifeline. That is the very ladder to heaven. That's going boldly into the throne room of grace. That is necessary to nurture our souls, to have communication with the Holy God. And what a privilege that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace, because we are made priests of the household of God. Because of what Jesus Christ has done. Somebody has said this, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. The same thing can be said about prayer. Sin will keep you from prayer, or prayer will keep you from sin. Oh, we need to have a life of prayer. That was Jonah's condition. I want you to see his confession in verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. How many of you think Jonah lacks character? I'm going to tell you, when they start casting lots, Jonah should have stood up and said, hey guys, you're wasting your time. It's going to fall right here. But he had no character, did he? No integrity. Instead, he was probably sitting back, hoping that it wouldn't fall upon him. Hoping they'd get their little game wrong and that the Spirit of God would not direct them towards him. But when the game was over, it pointed right on them. The lots, the Bible says, fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, verse 8, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? And why is thy country, or what is thy country, and what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made thee sea and the dry land. I'm not going to disagree with the Holy Scriptures. But I'm going to... Do you understand that the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit record things as they are? In other words, when David lied or David sinned, it recorded it as a lie, as a sin. I think Jonah's lying here. I don't think he fears God at all. Because a man that fears God doesn't get in a boat and flee from his presence. And so I'm not saying the Bible is wrong. I'm saying that Jonah's lying, and the Bible has recorded it as a perfect lie. Jonah is lying. He doesn't fear God. That is not the behavior of somebody that fears God. And so he confesses in his sin that he's fearing God. But what a terrible testimony to stand there in your sin. The lot has fallen upon him. They know that he is the one that is troubling them that night. And yet he confesses, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord God. Boy, he did a lot of damage, didn't he? The cause of God that night. In verse 5, the Bible says, every man was crying unto his God. And in verse 6 says, so the shipmaster came to him and said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Can you show me where he responds to the shipmaster and he prays? Every pagan on that boat prayed to their false god. And they pleaded with Jonah to go to the one true God, the God that had the power to do something about it, and he did nothing. Are you starting to understand why he's in such a mess? You starting to see why there's such a problem in his life? Are you starting to see why the other people on the boat might say, this guy's nothing but a hypocrite? He claims that he's a Hebrew. He claims that he fears the Lord. He claims that he knows God, the creator of all. Yet he refuses to pray. He's running from the presence of God. Here we are, dying out here in this water, and he's sleeping in the boat. What a hypocrite. You see the damage we can do when we fail to pray? When we get so far off in our sin that we don't even know what to do, we don't even know how to pray anymore? That's the condition we find. That's why Jonah's in such a mess, because he refuses to turn back to the Lord and to communicate with God. So Jonah confesses that he knows the true God, and in sin, he gives a testimony that he believes and serves him. What damage is there that's been done by Jonah? Would these other men in the boat, would they ever come to the true God? You see, all they know is they end up throwing him out of a boat. They don't know that he ends up going to Nineveh and preaching the gospel. Instead, they see a broken man in his sin confessing to know God, who willingly gives his life, commits suicide rather than submit to God. You know, I wonder, sometimes as we consider this passage, we see also the contempt for God. His contempt. Look at verse 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, I will go and pray. That's not what the scripture says. Maybe he could have said, you know what, fellas, I'm running from the Lord. I've already told you that. Why don't we turn the boat around, and as soon as you point it to Nineveh, everything will be okay. As soon as you put me back on the right track, as soon as I surrender to the Lord, as soon as I pray and say, God, I'm going to go to Nineveh. I'm going to follow through with the mission. I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm going to do exactly what you told me. I have a feeling the storm would have stopped. I don't know. But I have a feeling that once God gets our attention and the lesson's been learned, that's normally when things start turning around, isn't it? Let me encourage you in something. I learned this the hard way a couple times. Whenever a trial comes in my life, do you know what I've started to pray? Lord, help me to learn this lesson quickly. Now, how many of you want to be under that kind of pressure for that long? To fall in the hands of a living God? Lord, help me to learn this quickly. Whatever it is I need to learn, help me to be soft enough that I will learn it now. Because I don't want to mess around like this anymore. But Jonah, instead of praying, instead of turning to the Lord, instead of saying, guys, I want to get back on track, he says this. He said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm for you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. He said, well, maybe he's just doing the honorable thing and he's trying to save the lives of the others. Listen, I believe there was other ways to save their lives. I think if he had learned the lesson and got his heart right with God, God would have spared them. But instead, he shows contempt to God and says, throw me in the water. I'm still not going to Nineveh. Have you ever got hard like that? Boy, listen, let me tell you, that's a bad place to be. When your heart gets so hard and so hardened against the Lord, I've shared with you before, but I think this illustration fits perfectly. And I'm going to share it with you again. A friend of mine for many years felt like he was called to be in the ministry. So we encouraged him in that. Pastor Masker started with him and encouraged him in that. And he went on vacation, and I preached on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We had him preach on Wednesday night. He preached everything he knew in 10 minutes. But praise the Lord, he got up behind the pulpit and he preached the Word of God. And he came down and he says, I don't know if I can ever do that again. It scared me so bad. I said, everybody's scared the first time. I said, you just got to keep praying and trusting the Lord. If God has called you, he's going to take care of it. Then he said, well, you know, he says, my mom, she's really excited about this. She wants me to go forward. He says,
I want to be God called, not mom called. My wife, she's so excited about this. And he says, I don't want my wife. I don't want to be doing it because my wife wants it. I want to do it because the Lord wants it. My kids are all behind me. Man, they're so... I said, man, you got your mom, your wife, your kid, your whole family's behind you. Your church is behind you. What more do you want? I said, most people step out in opposition. I said, but you got the Lord and all your family and your church on your side. He said, well, I just want to be sure. A year or two goes by and he'd come down the altar and I'd go down and say, hey, what do you think? I said, are you ready to let the Lord do what he wants to do? Well, I'm still trying to figure it out, preacher. Still trying to figure it out. 5 more years goes by, 10 years go by. And finally it got to the point where he never wanted to preach. Did very little in the church. Ended up having an affair and leaving his wife. And now he's shacked up with another woman. This was a man that felt like he was called from God. He said, what happened to him? He just put his hand up to God and said, no, I'm just going to do it in my timing, not yours. I'm going to do my will, not yours. I'm not going to pray about this anymore. And he even told me that one time down at the altar. He says, Pastor, I'm not even praying about that anymore. I'm not worried about that anymore. I believe that time has passed and I'm getting too old for that now. He was in his early 30s. I felt so terrible for the fella to see how his life unraveled. He has a daughter that will not talk to him. He has a son that's just messed up his life incredibly. It's so sad to see the consequences from falling out of a relationship with the Lord. And when you don't pray, you don't have a relationship with the Lord, let me tell you. Would you imagine if I said, well, this is my wife, Ida, and you said to me, well, when's her birthday? Well, I don't know. I don't ever really talk to her. First of all, I'd get a black eye from her if I said that. Well, what does she like to eat? Where do you like, to go to her? I talked to her once when we got married, but you know, it's been 20 years. We haven't talked in 20 years. Would you think I had a relationship with her? And yet we don't pray and we say, well, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God. Really? Because we came and woke you up and we told you to pray and you won't even pray. What kind of testimony did he have before these men? I remember in Bible college one time went out to eat and the guy kind of made a joke of it. He said, all right, guys, we got to pray. So he took his napkin and he dropped it on the floor. And as he went down painting, dear Lord, bless this food. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. He didn't want anybody to see him praying publicly in a restaurant. How many of you see people pray in a restaurant very often? It doesn't happen very often anymore, does it? I saw a sweet couple a couple weeks ago, and they reached across, and they're holding hands. They're about 90 years old, praying for their meal. That's awesome! Isn't that good to see? Not ashamed. You say, well, what were? I don't know what they were. I don't care. They were talking to God publicly. Praise the Lord. Man, we need people of prayer. And here, he shows this very contempt for God when he refuses to pray. Rather, I'll take my own life, throw me in the water. I'm not going to serve God. You know, here's the thing. Jonah was well aware of the mercy and grace of God, and yet he refused to go and seek his forgiveness. He said, are you sure about that? Turn to chapter 4. You'll remember that Jonah finally gets on the right track and he goes and he preaches to the people of Nineveh and he goes up on a hill and he's about to watch God pour out his wrath. Boy, he was excited about that. But God showed grace because the people turned from their wicked ways. In verse 10 of chapter 3, he says, and God saw their works that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, repentest thee of the evil. Jonah said, before I ever left home, I knew that you were a gracious and merciful God. And yet here he is on the boat and God is pouring out his wrath and he refuses to go to God in prayer and repent of his sin. I don't know if you're in that place, friend, but listen, let me tell you this. That is a lie of the devil. I hear it way too often. God could never forgive me. God could never help me. I've gone too far and my sin is too great. I'm just going to live my life and I'll go to hell and have a party with all my friends. What a lie. What a lie. Satan has you deceived. Satan has you deceived. I was just visiting my aunt the other day. I told you this morning my cousin died this week, and so I went and saw his mother, my aunt. And I remember when her husband passed away. And I was in Bible college. It was many years ago. I was in Bible college, and Mr. Epp, Eugene Epp, had done, Pastor Epp now, he had preached my grandmother's funeral back in 1987 because Pastor Strachan was in Israel at the time. And so Pastor Epp did such a wonderful job at the funeral, and my dad just really, because of that funeral, just really loved Pastor Epp. And so when my uncle was sick and dying in the hospital, he asked Pastor Epp, would you come with me to the hospital and see him? And so Pastor Epp went. They were in the hospital, and Uncle Clarence was there, and they began to talk to him, and Pastor Epp began to talk to him about the Lord. And he just pulled his blankets up over his head. And he said to my dad, he says, get that preacher out of here. He says, I am too far gone to listen to what he has to offer. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. So Pastor Epp graciously left, and my dad walked him down to the elevators, and they said their goodbyes, and Dad went back into the room to listen to him, to see Uncle Clarence's brother, and Uncle Clarence was just weeping under the blanket. And he says, go get the preacher. Go get the preacher. And Dad ran down and caught him in the parking lot. He says, he wants to listen. He came back up, and he accepted Christ as his Savior that night. Let me tell you this, friends. My uncle was an alcoholic who drank himself to death. Drank himself to death. I remember going to visit him, and he had a tube coming out of his body to drain the alcohol out of his liver. It was terrible. God can save anybody. But you've got to come to him. God can forgive anything you're going through, any sin in your life. God can forgive you. Jonah forgot that. He knew he was a gracious and a merciful God, but he refused to turn to him in prayer. Don't let your heart get so hard. It is so sad when the condition of a man's heart becomes so hardened that he doesn't even know enough to go to God with his sin and pray. You know, God knows our sin. God knows how. Listen to what the Bible says. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord smelled the sweet Savior, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Proverbs 19, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, as it is, Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You think God doesn't know you're wicked? He knows we're all sinners. But we can turn to him at any time because he's gracious and he's merciful. And he loves you and he wants to forgive you. Don't ever forget to pray. Come to the Lord. You know, if it can happen to one of God's prophets, it can happen to you. It can happen to me. Look at the next thing. I want you to see his contrition. There was a turning point. There was a point where Jonah turned his heart, and the Bible says, as we read on in verse 15 of chapter 1, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Not because of Jonah, because of what the Lord did. They didn't repent of their sin and turn unto the Lord when Jonah was sleeping in the boat. They didn't cry out to the Lord and ask him to forgive them of their sins when Jonah made some great prayer and the seas calmed. No, when the seas calmed because they threw over the rebellious Jonah, they turned to the Lord. Verse 17 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now look what it says. Then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed. One of the interesting things I saw, how many of you remember where you were on 9/11? You remember that? Boy, isn't it something that something like that just gets ingrained? I remember that my wife had gotten together with some of the other ladies in the church, and they were driving to Woodstock to have a little tea and luncheon with Marlene Massacre. And we, you know, the kids got off to school and all the rest. And so I was driving into the church, and I heard on the radio what was going on. The first building had been hit by a plane, and at the time when one plane hits a building, you think it was an accident, you know, you didn't think. But then you could hear there was something different about it. And the confusion. So I turned around and I went home. I was only a couple blocks away, and I turned on the television and I got there just in time to see the second plane hit the second building. Of course, they already had the cameras focused on the first building, and so it wasn't hard to catch. You know, in the days and weeks to come, we watched them sift through the rubble, and we sent police and firefighters from Canada to go down and help with the situation, the recovery efforts. And, you know, just after a few days, it was no longer a life-saving effort. Now it was a recovery effort. But I'll remember something that I'll never forget. There was a lady that was pulled out of that rubble on about day 7, and I think she was one of the very last ones. There was a couple men after her, but she was one of the last ones, and she was pulled out of that rubble. And they said, "How did you survive for those?" And she said, "Well, I'll tell you this. I prayed for the first time in my life." Isn't it sad that you have to be laying under 75 stories of rubble to cry out to God for the first time? The Bible says, so then Jonah prayed. When he's down in the belly of the whale, when he realizes, okay, God's not going to let me die, and I can't have my way, and I can't just be tossed into the sea, and I can't run from this any longer. So he finally prayed. What a miserable place to be. Listen, the lesson we can learn from this is if God has to take us to rock bottom to have a relationship with us, he will. He's not the author of sin. But when we do sin, he can let it have its way until we are overtaken. And the problem is, then we have to look up to him. The Bible says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. And I want you to notice the contrition in his life. It says, and he said, I cried by reason of my affliction. Here's why I cried. I was sick of the mess I was in. Let me in on something here tonight. You don't have to wait till you're in a mess to pray. You don't have to fall this far. You don't have to get into this great affliction. You don't have to get into the belly of a whale. You can pray now. As soon as you sense there's a need, take it to the Lord. Don't wait. Be always in a state of prayer. He says, I cried to the Lord by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. It seems like the Lord let him sink a little bit, doesn't it? Before that whale ever swallowed him up. The Bible says he went right down to the bottom of the mountains, the deepest trenches of the sea, before God allowed the whale to swallow him. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Do you see his repentance in the very last verse? I will pay that. I will keep my word. I'm going to go to Nineveh. And the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground. When did his life change? When he hit rock bottom and he began to pray. That's the secret. There's no formula here that we have to conjure up some spell. Just start praying. Start praying. Start talking to God again. And then I want you to notice, finally, in his contrition, he cried out to God. Listen, Jonah didn't go to his knees. He was driven to his knees. Would to God that we would learn our lessons quickly, that we're not driven. That we would understand, like Jonah does in chapter 4, I knew before I ever left my home that you were a merciful and gracious God. But somewhere along the line, he'd forgotten that. Have you forgotten? Would to God that we'd be a people of prayer. He said, oh, preacher, pray for this soul to be saved. Are you praying? Have you added it to your list too? Let's not pass the buck. I appreciate people sharing prayer requests with me. Let me in on a secret. You can pray just as well as I can. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about the throne of grace, but it doesn't say who gets access. We all get access. You can pray too. You can take it to the Lord. Now, I understand it's good to have people praying for things. Amen? It's good to get people praying. And God uses, certain people. How many of you ever heard of Praying Hyde? Read his biography. Incredible. That people would, and there was a certain, D.L. Moody was preaching in a city and nobody was moving. Nobody was going to say, here's a man that was filled with the Spirit of God and preaching the Word of God. What did he do? He sent a telegraph to Praying Hyde, and he says, that night, hundreds got saved. He says, people used to send him, one town, I guess he called the mayor, and he said, I'm coming to preach. This Praying John Hyde was his name, John Hyde. And he worked for the Colgate Company before he ever became a preacher. And he says, I'd like to come. I'm preaching this revival. He says, would you send me a list of the people that need prayer before I come? The mayor, with a sense of humor, sent him the phone book. He says, here's who needs prayer. But he wasn't wrong. We all need it. But we have that wonderful privilege of going boldly into the throne room of grace, and we can ask for mercy, but we'll find grace in our time of need. Listen, friends, let's learn the lesson that God is teaching. If the book of Jonah exists for any reason, I think it might be threefold: to show us God's grace, to show us his mercy, and to show us how important it is to pray. That we get back on our face before a holy God and practice that wonderful privilege that's been extended to us because we are children of God through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together even now. Father, help us to learn this lesson. Speak to our hearts tonight. Father, we really need to be a people of prayer. We need to understand how powerful prayer can be. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to fall upon our face before thee again and mean serious business with God tonight. Father, I pray you'd rejuvenate every one of us, our prayer lives. Everybody can pray more. And so help us to do more for the cause of Christ by trusting in you and giving all our burdens to you through the power of prayer. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand tonight to our feet. I'm just going to be quiet and let you pray tonight and have an invitation time. I'm going to ask Brother Baker to sing that song. It's such a great choice of a hymn for an invitation. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Brother Baker, if you'll sing it, and we'll just pray.
God bless you. You may be seated. Pastor McDonald's going to come with some announcements. Thank you so much for being here tonight, Pastor McDonald.
Amen. That was a good message on the book of Jonah. I've heard many messages taught and preached that are there, but not really quite dealing just with prayer. So that was a good message of what happens when we don't have prayer in our life. Just as I give the announcements, we have found this. It looks like a lady's wristwatch. This is yours. It was in the kitchen. And I'll just leave that right up here. You can come and get it right after the announcements tonight. And it's not my size, and I'm going to leave it right there. As far as announcements go, continue to pray for the situation. We talk about prayer. Pray for our world. It's no secret. Our world's in trouble. And they have over in Ukraine, the Crimean region there, they've had their their vote. And their idea is to separate, go back to Russia. And we're heading into another Cold War. And it's been so good for the last 30 years. You know, really, since that ended, there has been wars, but it's been peaceful. I fear that it's just a matter of time anyway before the Antichrist rears his ugly head. So we need to be praying. Nobody else is going to be praying, folks. Just God's people, and so we need to be really fervent in our prayers for this world and for the events that are taking place. And as far as again the announcements go, that are in your bulletin. I just want to remind you that the Man Up Conference, the men's conference slated for the end of this week, is coming up very quickly. So you want to let us know if you want to go, and we'll get together and we'll see that everything gets done there. It's Friday night, 7 o'clock. It'll be a great time. I encourage men. We really need men to get on fire for God. It's enough that we've had the women leading us for a long time and picking up the slack. It's time for us men now to get on fire for God and be the leaders we should be. And that's the idea, and I think that's what's all behind us with Pastor Stone. He's really wanted to get men back in the driver's seat again and really doing work for God. So continue to pray for those meetings as well. If you're not going, at least pray for them, that God will stir us up with the preaching, and it'll be a great time. As far as everything else goes, we have lots coming up. And again, next Sunday evening is the family skate. And it's from 9 to 10 o'clock. So here's what you do. You come to church. Number one, come to church. Number two, right after church, get something to eat. Go on out, get something to eat. For me, that's where I'll stop. For number three, for the rest of you, go put your skates on and go skating. It'll be a great time. I'll show up and watch you skate. I'll do that much anyway. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for the message that was preached tonight. Some good messages preached today, Lord. Help us to put them into action. Help us to take them to heart. Father, help us to be a praying people. Lord, we don't have much to offer to this world, but we do have a great God. We can pray to him. And Father, we do pray to you. And we ask that you'd be with us, Lord. We know there are people here who are ill. We know there are people here who need your touch of healing upon their bodies. We know that there are souls that are lost in this dying world out there who need Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And Father, we just pray, Lord, as we give ourselves over to you, help us to learn the lessons from the book of Jonah, from this man of Jonah, Lord. Help us not to fall into that part in our lives where we'll just separate ourselves from you and try to do it alone. We can't do it alone without you. Father, help us to be instrumental in getting out the great commission, the great word, the gospel to this world, Father. And we just ask that you give us the power to do it. Now send us away safely, Lord, and return us safely again as we meet again on Wednesday night. And Father, help us to really put that prayer night into action. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you now as you go. And don't forget this wristwatch.